All right, welcome to Security Guy TV, SecurityGuyRadio.com at Infuse 2017, put on by Guidance Software. What's your name, sir?
My name is Arnold Guerin.
And Arnold, what do you do?
So I work at the Royal Canadian Mounted Police Canadian Police Center for Missing and Exploited Children.
Excellent.
And we investigate online child exploitation.
So I just did a couple shows last 2 months about human trafficking, sexual slavery, I mean, you name it. I mean, it's a crazy problem.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a hidden problem that people don't like to talk about.
No, they don't like to talk about it. And another thing I found amazing is the FBI, for example, only receives about $5 million a year to cover this.
Yeah.
And when, you know, we spend $80 million on terrorism, which is good. Let's spend $40 million on this kind of thing because it's a real problem. What are your numbers that you know of in the United States as far as, you know, how many kids and what happens and all that kind of stuff?
Well, I don't know exact numbers, but I can tell you that there is a worldwide effort to find and identify kids who are appearing in child sexual exploitation material.
Good.
Interpol runs a database called the International Child Sexual Exploitation Database. And as of January this year, they've identified their 10,000th victim of child exploitation of online.
And that's
online.
Not enough. There's more probably. But at least, I mean, that's right. 10 years ago, that number wouldn't have been even close. That's excellent.
Yeah. So 10 years ago, they wouldn't have known what the number is.
Right.
And I think really what that speaks to is that there's an international core group of people around the world that are working really hard to find and identify children who are being sexually assaulted.
Now, what does your center do specifically?
Our center is responsible for managing intelligence and coordinating child exploitation investigations in Canada. So if there's an international lead comes in, it lands at our office, and we get it out to local law enforcement basically as fast as we can.
Yeah.
And we do the same thing in reverse. If there's a Canadian police agency that needs assistance, and it's usually timely assistance that's needed,
right,
we'll connect them with the right international law enforcement agency. So, you know, the internet has no borders, and if there's
right.
a victim in Canada, the offender may not necessarily be in Canada. And to kick off that investigation, it requires a lot of coordination and cooperation.
Now, let's talk about the cooperation part, because I was a cop. 13 years back in the 80s, 90s. You know, we didn't share stuff because, by the way, it wasn't too easy to do.
Yeah.
What do you send a fax over to somebody, right? You know, the old school,
yeah.
right? But as technology progressed, I noticed we still didn't share.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a turf thing. I'm not really sure. Talk about the sharing aspect, how it works. I'm interested because we are crossing borders.
Yeah.
We're crossing different laws in different jurisdictions. You know, how do you say this is a confidential police investigation, but I'm going to go share it with this agency over here?
Mm-hmm.
I think people are interested to know how that works.
Yeah. So one of the reasons why we're at Infuse this week is we're assisting on the international effort to roll out Project Vic as wide as we can. Guidance Software integrated Project Vic into NCASE this past year.
Okay.
And that's what I'm here to speak about. Now, Project Vic is a couple of different things. So one is it's a data model that forensic companies can adopt to import our hashes of child exploitation into their product.
Oh, interesting.
And they can do it in a standard way. And because we have all of the tools available online for them to do this, we've got the libraries available to do this, it's really not a heavy lift for them to do that. What it allows them to do, though, is they can then tell their customers that they're integrated with Project Vic, that they're putting kids first with respect to their investigations.
Right.
They can bring those hashes into their product. They can reduce their workload. They can make the connections. Really, what we're trying to do worldwide is to change the focus of child exploitation investigations to be victim-based. So what we really want police to do is to focus in on finding and identifying kids who appear in these images.
Interesting. So instead of suspect-based, which is it really kind of is, and if you don't have a suspect, well, nothing I can do about it. I mean, that's
right.
the idea, right? So making it victim-based gets it moving. It's very interesting. Now, for my nieces and nephews that don't get this stuff, boil down the hashtag thing to a layperson. What is it you're doing with those
right.
hashtags so they know?
Right.
You know.
So a hash value is nothing more than a mathematical algorithm to describe the contents of a file.
Okay.
So you can create a hash value using a number of popular cryptographic algorithms, MD5, SHA-1. None of that really matters, really. The fact is, we're sharing these hashes with each other, and by doing so, we are able to reduce workloads. So if I've got 2 million hashes of child exploitation, and I can share that with all police in Canada, as soon as I upload them to our cloud service, they get them immediately. And
right.
they're not waiting for me to share.
Right.
We've removed all the technical barriers from that from happening.
Yeah.
And then the ones that are left are political or policy ones, and when we put the fact that we're trying to make this victim-based investigations,
right,
the policy and the politics get out of the way.
Well, that's good. That's excellent. I just interviewed BrainSource over here. So they take, you know, some end case data, a client's data, goes into a big pile on the floor, and their software goes in there and does some, you know, deep learning, figures it out and says, you know what? I know you're looking for these keywords, bank robber, gone mask, but what about these things here that actually indicate that's an association, right?
Yeah.
So do you work with things like that data? I mean, you know, here's a hashtag, here's a file. It's a kid. We're not sure where the kid is. What are we doing? But are there patterns you guys are finding by sharing the data? Yeah. Are you finding that Police Department A, wow, I got that same case over here in Police Department B and I didn't know it?
Yeah, so that's exactly it. So the next piece after we've did all of the work to get Project Vic deployed in computer forensic programs, you know, Black Bag Forensics, Celebrate, Magnet Forensics, Guidance, they've all come on board. And they've come on board for the right reasons. They're putting their hearts first.
And they're contributing data sets to the project.
Right. So the police that are using their software, they can export their Project Vic hashes, push them up to the cloud service, share them with other police doing child exploitation investigations. So it's really enhancing the way that police are doing their investigations, making it victim-based. Now, the next piece of our work is something that we have in progress right now. It's called Global Alerts. So imagine if I had a specific set of hashes that I wanted to say, hey, these are related to kids that we're actually trying to identify.
Right.
We don't know who they are. But I know somewhere out there in the world, in a police office, in a forensic shop, in their storage locker, are hashes of these kids that are the ones that I don't have. Well, what if I could broadcast those global alert out to all of those agencies and say, hey, if you get a match on these hashes, you need to contact this agency. They're trying to rescue this kid. Would you do that? Well, the answer is, of course you would.
Oh, well, you better. Right?
And if we can make that as easy as possible to do, removing all of the technical barriers to do that, then, well, that's something that we're working on.
So technical barriers are the easy part.
Yeah.
For people that get it, right? Mm-hmm. Are you finding any political barriers still or legal barriers that say, well, you know, we can't because of law A and B?
Yeah. So really what it comes down to is whatever kind of data protection laws apply to a certain country.
Yeah. Because they're, and like in Germany, they're very strict. Right?
Yeah, of course. Now, so the reason why we're focusing out on hashes and other types of signatures is they're not necessarily private data. They're not saying, hey, this is someone's privately identifiable, personally identifiable information.
Well, that's true. I was thinking, you know why I was thinking it? Because California, anyway, as a cop, you know, anything with a minor, you don't put minors' names in the newspaper.
Right.
You don't put, it's confidential. Of course, this is inside a confidential investigation.
Right.
However, you could still see some places saying, oh, well, it's a kid. We can't do it, you know.
At the end of the day, if there's evidence on your seized device that's going to help find, identify a child being sexually assaulted in another country, would you share that? The answer every time when you ask a law enforcement officer is, yeah, of course I'm going to
do that.
Okay,
good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
It's excellent.
Yeah. And there's lots of things that have been done internationally through Interpol or Europol or federal law enforcement in the United States to make that type of rapid information sharing possible.
Now, we know what NCASE does. We know a lot of these places, you know, how they find the data. Who's doing the matching?
Those are police officers.
And so my data set here in Las Vegas, how do I match it with Culver City's data set?
Right. So here's the workflow in that sense.
Yeah.
So police officer in Las Vegas arrests bad guy for a child exploitation offense, grades all of the material that they've seized. They've extracted it with NCASE and it's Project Vic compatible. They then finish the grading and they upload it to the Project Vic cloud service in the United States. That gets blasted out to all the other ICAC units in the country. In another city somewhere in the United States, they download those hashes and they can apply it to their workload. If it's a global alert, they'll get a notification saying, hey, someone's looking for this kid. You got evidence on your computer related to this investigation.
So not everything's a global alert necessarily. But,
right.
Okay,
not
right,
necessarily
right.
Everything. But those hashes get shared out to everyone that's on the network.
And then inside your project, is that where the data matching comes?
Yeah.
Or is it still to be a manual kind of, oh, hey, there's an alert?
No, all of the software partners that we've brought into Project Vic do that matching automatically.
Oh, good.
You import the hashes into the product. It does the matching for you. And then you can see the results, filter on it, and focus the investigation.
What kind of hit rate are you getting on these things? One a day?
Easy. Yeah. So, you know, child exploitation is still a big problem worldwide.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, wherever there's cases, you know, we're finding matches.
So I had a guy on the show about a month ago. His angle on this was that some of these things are hide in plain sight.
Yeah.
In the open. And when we say child, you and I are kind of thinking 12, 13 under because of our police background. But, you know, a child could be 17 and a half legally.
Mm-hmm.
A child could be a 20-year-old if she's a prisoner
and
a sex slave, right? What do you guys focus on as far as those sex crimes? Is it really the minor and the children, or do you go up to people that are literally, you know, forced sexual enslavement, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's the whole gambit.
Is
I
it
mean,
okay?
If there's a victim, well, we're going to treat this person like a victim and give them the services that they need. So it doesn't matter if they're an adult, 17 and a half, or a newborn. If they're a victim of a sexual assault, we're going to treat them with respect to that deserves.
What type of cases are you getting nowadays? I mean, back in the day, child abuse to me was, I had a guy once that a dad whose little toddler was walking around the kitchen, and to teach the toddler not to put their hands on the open oven door, which he shouldn't have opened in the first place, he held the toddler's hands on the oven door, third degree burns, right? Smacking, hitting, abuse. Occasionally, the sexual thing came out, you found it, right? But there's some weird, sick shit out there now. I mean, it's like beyond my brain's ability to even comprehend it. What are the type of cases? Is it abuse? Is it selling babies? Is it kidnapping? I mean, I don't run the gamut, but is there something in the world that's trending on this stuff?
Well, certainly one of the things that we see a lot of at the moment right now is the sharing of intimate images between young people.
Okay.
And so you have a 15-year-old in love with a 16-year-old. You know, they're teenagers. Their love is going to last forever.
Oh, they're going after that is, okay.
And,
I mean, it's technically,
So they share that material.
Yeah.
And that material ends up in the hands of people that are interested in child sexual exploitation.
Oh, so agencies aren't really looking at the two teenagers in love as victim suspect.
No, but what they don't realize is once that image leaves their device,
right.
It's ending up in the collections of offenders, and they don't realize that.
Yeah.
And then we end up thinking, well, is this a person that's in danger that needs our assistance?
Well, sure, you don't know.
Or was this an innocent sharing of an image that has, the privacy of it has been breached and ended up in a collection?
Yeah, that must be just an overflow of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of it. You know, so we're doing our best to deal with it. Project Vic is one of the ways that we're able to share that type of information.
Now, just so the viewers know about this, and our officer is going to clarify this better than I can. If you are sharing an image of a child, that's clear.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if you're sharing images of a 19-year-old that's dressed like a 10-year-old, that could be considered, right? If you're showing animation of minors, that could be considered child pornography. Depends on the state and jurisdiction, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is really,
certainly does.
You know, I think there's a lot of people trying to get around the law and saying, oh, well, you know, that's a 24-year-old dressed up in diapers. You know what? Sorry, pal.
Yeah.
You don't get around the law that easily because you're still getting that. That you're using it and selling and trading it like that. So you're going after that kind of stuff too. What do you call that art? Is that
so? There's a couple
the Japanese anime. You know that's
So in certain jurisdictions, that material is illegal. In
not United, all necessarily.
Yeah,
okay.
In the United States, you have to prove that it's a real child. That eliminates a lot of the cartoon and anime type stuff. In
wait
Canada,
a minute, hold on. I'm sorry. You have to prove that the animation is a minor in the animation?
Essentially, what that means is a lot of the anime isn't necessarily illegal in the United States.
Yeah.
In Canada, it is.
Okay.
It's considered to be child pornography. In Canada, whether it's real or depicted, it's child pornography.
Okay, that's good.
And
it's like the old cocaine laws. It's baby powder. Nope, it's cocaine. Similar. Remember these two?
Yeah, if you sold me a thing of baby powder,
okay.
It would be weird. But yeah. So also in Canada as well, if it is an adult but depicted as a child, and the purpose is to depict them as a child, well, guess what? That's child pornography in
Canada. That's good. Not necessarily United States, though.
Yeah, not necessarily. They still have to prove some other offenses.
Yeah.
Not super familiar
with California
the laws.
I think California is.
Not super familiar with all of the state and federal laws, so I can't really speak to it, but I definitely know in Canada.
Yeah. Very interesting. Without divulging any secrets, what's your participation rate with agencies worldwide? You got a couple hundred, you got a couple thousand, what is it?
So Project Vic has been used by just over 30 countries around the world.
Wow, that's fabulous.
Yeah, it is.
Congratulations.
They've done great work getting Project Vic into the hands of all of the ICAC units in the United States. I run Project Vic Canada. It's in every province, every territory.
Great.
And all the police that are doing child exploitation work have access to our cloud service. It's recently just launched in Australia. the Australia Federal Police have launched their own Project Vic Australia. And in the UK, it's called CADE, the Child Abuse Image Database.
So this is no baloney. Every time I come to a trade show, as is IC West, you know what they are, right? These shows, right? I randomly get people to come over. I say, I like your product. Guess who the number one country is, has the best products? Canada. It's always Canada. I'm not kidding you. I don't know if it's because you guys have a lot of winter and dark time to think or something in the log cabin, but the most innovation comes out of Canada in all fields of security. Really good stuff. I'm very proud of you guys. That's fabulous work.
Thanks.
How do we get a hold of you, and how can people, you know, if there's some of my cop buddies listening that don't know about this, how do we find out more?
Well, so if you're looking to access Project Vic in the United States, you can go to request@projectvic.org, and they'll blast an email back to you with all the information you need to get signed up. If you're credentialed law enforcement in the United States, you can totally get access.
Oh, remember, we forgot to say something we talked about off camera. How many arrests have you guys made?
How many what?
Arrests.
Oh, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but I know that Canada has identified just over 800 children of child abuse.
Oh, that's right. And we said maybe the 10,000th victim has been identified recently, right?
So, yeah. So one of the great things is that worldwide effort to identify kids. Interpol runs the International Child Sexual Exploitation Database. In January of this year, they identified the 10,000th victim whose image appears in child sexual exploitation
media. And how long have you been counting that stat?
Since 2008.
That's outstanding.
So in under 10 years, you know, we're, you know, doing better than 1,000 victims a year.
That's fantastic.
You know, so what that really shows is that police around the world are working really hard to identify the kids in these images, and they're seeing success.
Now, do I call you Mountie?
No, you can just call me Arnold.
Arnold the Mountie. Thanks for coming on Security Guy TV, securityguyradio.com. Follow up after show. We'll have a guidance after show about some of these things, too. So thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks very much.
Excellent.